was refreshing in a way, because everyone else seemed to be walking on fucking eggshells around me. And in a way, Rage was right. It was getting really fucking boring. "Is that what Nolan does?" I asked with a wink. "Does he make you scream like a bitch, or do you just pull out your cock and compare whose is bigger?" I could hear her audibly growl and then sigh heavily.
"Well, Preppy, it's been real. Until we're forced together in the same social situation again, which hopefully isn't any fucking time soon,"
she said, clinking the neck of her beer to mine with a fake smile plastered on her face that dropped before she even turned back around. She stomped past Nolan, catching his attention, his head spinning in her direction while she muttered, "Pussy, can't take torture like a fucking man." I responded with a muttering of my own, "Aeropostale assassin." "You know," I said to Nolan, whose buddy had just walked off toward the house, "sometimes I think the reason she's so hot is because of that flaming poker shoved up her ass." Surprisingly, Nolan chuckled instead of punching me in the face as he watched Rage stalk off, his focus primarily on her swaying ass. "Hot, yeah, she most definitely is," he said, biting his bottom lip and rocking his weight from one leg to the other. I gotta go." His words trailed off as he chased after Rage, who I'm sure was on her way toward whatever circle of hell she usually crawled into to seek solace from her bruised ego. I took a deep drag of my cigarette. In a way, Rage and I hating each other was the most normal thing I'd experienced since I'd been back, and for a brief moment, I felt a little better. Slightly lighter. Like all wasn't right with the world, far fucking from it, but maybe, just maybe it could be. Someday. I felt so good that I almost believed my own lie, and that to me was progress. It also might have been the blow. Blow or progress, either way, I was starting to feel pretty fucking good. That is until I tipped up my beer up to my mouth and caught a glimpse of a feminine figure through the green glass of the bottle. A figure, although distorted and blurred, the orange glow of the burning torches glowing on both sides of her, I would recognize anywhere. I kept the bottle to my lips a full 30 seconds after I drained it, thinking that what I was seeing was a figure of my imagination, as it had cruelly been so many times before. Slowly, I lowered the bottle and I was able to see her clearly for the first time in a long time. My breath hitched in my throat. She was still the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. Dark hair, short tight skirt, and bright red fuckable lips. My wife was home.
"Attention, everyone,"
King said, standing on a wooden bench butted up against the brick edge surrounding the bonfire pit. The flames rose at least 5 feet above his head. He reached down and pulled Ray up to stand with him on the bench. Even in the dark, I could see her face turning bright red with embarrassment as she hid her face in her hands, peering out through the spaces between her fingers before covering back up again. King pulled her hand from her face and took it in his own. He held up a bottle of whiskey to the partygoers who had all gathered around to hear what he had to say. Public speaking wasn't exactly King's thing. Speaking wasn't exactly his thing. But as he looked down at Ray and spoke to the crowd, there were none of the mutters or grunts that I remembered King using to communicate. In fact, the motherfucker was downright articulate, albeit I detected a tad bit drunk as well.
"We have a lot to celebrate tonight," he started,
his eyes scanning the crowd until they met mine.
"The first thing being that my best fucking friend in the world has come back from the fucking dead."
He took a swig from his bottle and raised it in the air, pointing it toward me, and I did the same. The crowd clapped and screamed, their voices swirling around me like a tornado of noise, pushing me back and forth. I wobbled on my feet, trying to stay upright. I was about to fall over when King raised his hands and got the crowd to die down, oblivious of the state I was in. I opened and closed my mouth, moving my jaw around in an attempt to get my ears to pop, but it wasn't working. Nothing was working. I was a prisoner to the noise that assaulted me like toxic arrows shot into my fucking eardrums.
"The second thing we have to celebrate is that now that I have my best men here with me, my family, it feels right now. So Ray and I here are getting married in 2 weeks, right here, and you are all better be coming to our fucking wedding."
The crowd erupted even louder than before, and I felt like a cannon had exploded next to my ear. king picked up Ray, who wrapped her legs around his waist, and he kissed her for all to see, claiming her with his mouth. Someone whistled from behind me, the sound piercing through my skull. My vision shifted from blurry to clear, then back again. I swayed on my feet. When the attention was off of me, I stumbled through the crowd toward the house, tripping over people who probably thought I was just drunk as I barreled through them like a blind bull charging. The world was spinning. I covered one ear with one hand and felt for the wall of the house with the other. A pair of hands grabbed my shoulders and my fight instincts kicked in. I shook them off and jumped back, raising my fist in the air. It was then my eyes chose to focus again, but the pressure behind them was unbearable. I looked the ground at tiny feminine bare feet with red toenail polish. I traveled up bare calves to the black skirt that stopped right below her knees, and I nodded, trying to let her know she could guide me. She got the message and again touched my shoulders. I flinched but realized as her hand slid down my arm and she guided me to the front of the house, away from the crowd, away from the noise, away from the nightmare that both of those things brought me time and time again. I was lost, I said breathlessly, not exactly sure what I was trying to say, although Dre seemed to understand. She gripped my arm tighter.
You were, but I found you.
Dre.
Just give me a minute,
Preppy said, breathing heavily. He leaned back against the thick trunk of a huge banyan tree on the far corner of the front yard, the furthest away we could get from whatever it was that had caused Preppy to break down in the middle of the party. He was rubbing his eyes and temples, wincing and baring his teeth. Are you in pain? I asked. Where? I looked him over and couldn't see anything obvious. No tears in his hoodie or jeans, no bloodstains of any kind. In fact, besides how he was responding to whatever it was causing him such distress, he looked good. Really good. He'd filled out since I'd seen him last. His cheeks weren't nearly as hollow as before. His face was no longer clean-shaven, and was a few days past being able to call it stubble, where the hair on his head was always a few shades lighter than his face. As it grew, they looked to be a perfect match, both being a lighter shade of brown. His hazel eyes weren't as glazed over, but they still look unfocused.
I'm fine,
Preppy said, blinking rapidly several times. He looked up at me. He was anything but fine. Just when I thought he was calming down, he grabbed the sides of his head and dropped to his knees in the grass. Ugh! He yelled as if something inside was clawing its way out. I knelt down beside him, unsure of how to help him, especially since I didn't know what it was that was hurting him so badly. Distraction, I thought. So I did the only thing I could think of. I got right in Preppy's face, I grabbed his shoulders, and I pressed my mouth to his. At first, his entire body jumped like I'd stung him, but at least he'd stopped screaming. I didn't do a damn thing. I went perfectly still and waited as I felt his entire body relax, his lips soften against mine. A tingling bolt of desire hummed in my clit as I pressed my chest against his, packing him up against the tree. He pulled back just far enough to speak.
What the fuck was that?
He asked, his cool breath against my lips, as he panted against me. His pupils were wide and dark. Barely any of his beautiful hazel eyes were visible. Wherever he'd gone, he'd come back. Distraction? I asked, sounding breathless.
Huh?
He asked, making no move to push me away. Distraction, I said, suddenly second-guessing myself and thinking that maybe I'd done the wrong thing after all. When I was little and I broke my arm falling out of a tree I was climbing, my dad, he distracted me when the doctor was putting the cast on. He jumped around the ER making these loud monkey noises. I laughed at the memory. I thought he was insane until I realized the cast was on, and I hadn't felt a thing.
So, that kiss was meant to be a distraction?
Preppy asked, amusement dancing in his eyes. He leaned in closer, and my nipples pebbled in awareness. My panties were damp as he grabbed my arms and ran his hands down to my hips and around to my ass. I nodded.
"Well, then, Doc,"
he said, running the backs of his knuckles down my cheek and jaw. I leaned into his touch.
"I think we can do better than that."
I was about to ask him what he meant when his lips met mine. It was nothing like the first kiss, which was practical and tight-lipped. It was soft and hard, all at the same time. He molded his mouth to me, his tongue connecting with mine in a way that made me feel a vibration between my thighs, like his tongue was licking right at the entrance of my pussy. I moaned into his mouth as he gripped the back of my head and held me in place, as he assaulted me with his mouth, and I opened for him. I heard something in the distance, my name being called, but I was far too gone to care. Too lost in the high that was Samuel Clearwater to care who needed me or why. Because I needed that kiss, that moment, and I was going to take it while I could.
"Dre!" Brandon shouted.
Preppy pulled back and we both looked into the yard, where Brandon was frantically searching for me.
"Who the fuck is that?"
Preppy asked, holding me against him tighter. "Brandon." No sooner had I said it that Brandon spotted us and started jogging our way.
"Brandon?"
Preppy asked. We were both breathing hard, my nipples rubbing against his chest, and the fabric of my tank top as we breathed in the same air.
"Who the fuck is Brandon?"
he asked. That's when he looked down between us, his eyes grew furious, his arms stiffening. I glanced down to see what he could be looking at, and that's when I saw Myrna's ring on my finger, the diamond glistening against the reflection of the moon. Preppy growled and let me go abruptly, sidestepping me, and without him to hold on to and my thighs shaking with weakness, I fell against the tree. He met Brandon halfway between the yard and the tree, but before I realized what his intentions were, his fist was flying and Brandon was flailing on the ground, clutching his bloody nose. "Preppy!" I called out, but he'd already disappeared into the crowd. I ran to Brandon and started helping him up. "Come on, let's go get you some ice."
"Fuck,"
Brandon moaned, standing with a wobble and holding onto my shoulder.
"Was that who I think it was?"
he asked. "Yeah, it was."
"Well, I think your boyfriend just broke my fucking nose,"
Brandon said, sounding like he was speaking through a drive-through window at a fast food restaurant. "He's not my boyfriend," I argued, as I led him over to the coolers for some ice. I reached in and grabbed a few cubes, wrapping them in a napkin and pressing it to his face. He hissed. "Actually, I think he saw my grandmother's ring and thought you gave it to me." Brandon started laughing, full-out belly laughing.
"Oh my shit, I have to call Ralph right fucking now,"
Brandon said, reaching into his pocket for his phone. "Why?"
"Because your boyfriend thinks I'm straight. Who better to appreciate the humor in that than my boyfriend?"
Brandon said. He smiled as his thumb clicked across the screen. He had a point. The situation would probably be funny to me. Someday. Brandon was just about to hold the phone up to his ear when the crowd erupted in cheers once again. I looked to where Thea and Bear were in the front, and he was planting a big kiss on her mouth.
"Preppy, you're fucking next,"
someone shouted, and I realized it was Billy. His mason jar now only half of what it had been 10 minutes before.
"Don't drink the water over here or you'll be getting hitched."
At the sound of his name, my stomach flipped. Brandon had finished dialing and was holding the phone to his ear. I heard Ralph on the other end saying, "Hello? Baby, is that you?" Brandon opened his mouth and was about to speak, but stopped when someone on the other side of the crowd chimed in.
"Actually, I got married before these two beautiful big fucks,"
the voice slurred. "Preppy." The crowd was quiet. A few people in the front shuffled around and parted, and that's when I saw him again. This time he was standing on the edge of the fire pit, where Bear was standing only seconds before.
In fact, my wife's here tonight,
Preppy said. He looked around and spotted me with Brandon. Our eyes locked, and he pinned me in place with his gaze. He lifted the bottle in his hand in my direction. He swayed slightly.
This is for you, Doc. Isn't my wife beautiful, folks?
I felt 100 sets of eyes shift toward me.
Don't worry about the bleeding guy. That's just my wife's fiancé, who I just punched in the fucking face.
He threw the bottle into the fire, which cracked against the brick. Flames shot higher into the sky as he jumped down and disappeared from view. Several people were calling out his name, including myself. Brandon might have been the one Preppy hit, but I felt as if he'd punched me square in the gut.
Chapter 13. Preppy. Life was fucking loud, and Doc was fucking engaged. She kissed me. Noise was everywhere and anywhere. Whispers, laughter, chattering, music, tires on the gravel, birds in the trees. Even the low buzzing of King's tattoo gun in the next room had jackhammer-esque quality to it that made my pulse pound in my head. With each passing moment, the noise grew louder and louder until I was face first on the mattress, covering my head with a pillow and screaming into the sheets over the ear torture of everyday life. I'd come to the apartment so that Ray and King's kid could have a room back, but also because I thought it would be quieter. I was wrong. The last straw was a motherfucking cricket sitting just outside the open window. I jumped to my feet and darted from drawer to cabinet, discarding contents to the floor. I was so focused on my search, I didn't see Bear come in until he spoke up from the doorway.
Something I can help you look for?
My gun. Do you know where it is? I asked without looking at him. Did you keep it or throw it away like the rest of my shit?
Fuck you. We kept your shit for a long time, and you know we don't throw away guns.
Bear tilted his head.
You got someone to kill?
Fuck yeah, I do, I corrected.
You gonna tell me who?
Why is it all so fucking loud? I shouted, opening the last cabinet in the kitchenette, pushing aside the pots and pans with no luck. I slammed the door and headed to the bedroom to start my search there.
Hear what?
Bear asked, following me into the bedroom and then the bathroom.
Fuck it,
I finally said, giving up my search. I turned to Bear and held out my hand. Let me use yours.
First, tell me who it is you're thinking of killing,
Bear insisted, placing a protective hand inside his cut over his gun.
You really don't hear that?
Bear looked around and even briefly closed his eyes before opening them again.
I don't have a fucking clue what you're talking about.
Close your eyes again. Fucking listen, I snapped, growing frustrated, my mind racing. The second Bear closed his eyes and removed his hand off his gun, I reached inside his cut, and before he could stop me, I shot through the open window, blasting the little green bug into smithereens and in the process, exploding the piece of faux marble covering the windowsill and shattering the glass of the window when it fell from its locked position. Much better, I said, tossing the gun back at Bear before he had a chance to grab it back from me.
You don't grab another man's gun, asshole!
Bear growled, anger lacing his every word as I climbed back into bed.
What the fuck do you think you're doing?
Getting rid of some of the goddamn noise around here. That's what I was fucking doing.
Preppy, you've lost your goddamn mind is what you've done.
Bear barked over me. The door to the apartment slammed open and King burst into the room, a frantic look on his face.
What the fuck was that?
Preppy sentenced a cricket outside the window to death by firing squad of one. Bear remarked.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
King shouted, pulling me up and holding me in front of him, his face only inches from mine. An angry vein thrummed in his forehead as it had always done when he was pissed. I missed that vein.
What the fuck is your problem?
I asked.
Are you fucking kidding me right now? My problem is that we have kids and women who fucking live here, and you're firing a gun inside the goddamn window like it's the Wild West. Fuck, Prep. I know shit's different around here now, but that shit you just pulled wouldn't fucking fly before you went away either.
I'm so fucking sorry that I don't live up to your new family man standards, I said, grabbing his wrist and tossing it away from where he had gathered a handful of my shirt in his hand. I grabbed a duffel bag from under the bed and tossed a few pairs of shorts and shirts into it.
"You need help?"
King asked, his anger turning into frustration.
"Do we need to send you somewhere? Just tell me what you fucking need, Preppy."
"I need the noise to stop. I need the light to stop burning my fucking eyes. I need my fucking cock to work instead of lying limp between my fucking legs." I zipped the bag and tossed it over my shoulder. I looked back at King, who was standing there with that look on his face that I was tired of seeing. "I need my friends to stop looking at me like I'm some dog who got hit by a fucking car."
"Where the fuck do you think you're going?"
Bear asked as I made my way to the door. "Somewhere much fucking quieter." King's arm shot out, blocking me from the door.
"Just let him go,"
Bear said, pulling on King's arm. He reluctantly let it fall with a growl, and I left, slamming the door and leaving my two best friends behind me. Nobody followed me, which was good, because I had no fucking idea where I was going.
Chapter 14. King. "Hey, you busy?"
Pup asked, peeking her blonde head around the door.
"Just finishing up,"
I said, snapping off my black gloves and tossing them into the trash bin. I rolled my stool to the center of the room and didn't need another invitation. She stepped into the room and between my legs so I could wrap my arms around her. But it wasn't close enough. Never was. I grabbed her hips and pulled her close until her body was firmly against mine and my face against her chest.
"What's going on?"
I mumbled from between her tits. "My last client just left and I was beat. It was the last session of six for one of the biggest and most intricate back pieces I'd ever done."
"Oh, wow, it's beautiful,"
Pup exclaimed. And when I looked up, she had my phone in one hand and the other was covering her mouth as she looked down at the screen at the picture I'd just taken before I'd wrapped up his back and sent him on his way.
"It's your best one yet."
"You say that about all them," I said, again pressing my face between her braless tits and wanting very badly to sleep there for the rest of the fucking night. Pup laughed and stepped back, but I wouldn't let her get far, so I grabbed her hand and pulled her back into me.
"I need to talk to you about something serious," she said.
"You pregnant again?"
I asked, unable to hide the hope in my voice. Some may view my need to knock my woman up constantly as pathetic, but I saw her being pregnant with my baby as more than just carrying a kid. Her being pregnant with my baby was like the possession of her, a body and soul kind of thing. It made me rock fucking hard every time I thought of her belly growing and her tits swelling again.
"No,"
she said, slapping me playfully on the shoulder.
"We said we would take a break. We have three and I need a minute to just breathe."
"How long do you need to breathe, baby?"
I murmured, lightly running my teeth over sensitive spots of skin under her tit over her shirt.
"A week?"
I dug my fingers into her hips and moved her head lower to kiss the small strip of skin between her tank top and her shorts.
"2 weeks?"
I asked, licking a circle around her belly button. I looked up just as her pale cheeks turned bright pink.
"3?
Because you know, baby, I'll give you whatever you want." I rubbed my thumbs over the tops of her thighs from the outside in, dipping them into the frayed opening of her shorts. Goosebumps rose on her warm flesh.
"Time,"
she said sternly. Well, as sternly as she could with my thumb circling so close to her pussy.
"I just want a little time."
"I'll give you 2 months,"
I bargained without waiting for her to reply. Instead, I watched as her eyes turned dark as I ran my nose over her stomach and breathed in her arousal. There was no better scent on earth than my woman when she was turned on. My woman. Something I could say a million fucking times and it never got old. Mine.
We can talk about that stuff, baby stuff, later,
she stammered.
"Right now I need to talk to you. It's about prep."
"What about prep?"
I asked, realizing that Pup was serious about whatever it was she had to talk to me about. I needed some space so I could actually hear her,
So I took my tools over to the sink where I started taking apart my equipment for cleaning and sanitation. Pup sighed and plopped down onto the black leather couch beside me, pulling her legs up onto the cushions and resting her chin on her knees.
He feels off to me. It all feels off.
I shrugged. Everyone deals with shit their own way, and he hasn't been around in a while. Let him ease back into things in his own way. He's gonna freak out now and again. He's been through some shit. Pup sighed. Her eyes looked tired.
I don't know how to say this to you, so I'm just going to say it.
She took a deep breath and looked at the floor when she said,
I don't think Preppy is telling the truth.
About what happened to him? I asked. No fucking way. He's not saying much, and that's understandable, but Bear's guys dragged him out of that hole themselves. There's no way he was lying about that. She shook her head.
No, about the girl. About Dre. About who she is to him.
I shook my head. Why would he lie about her?
Because, don't you see? He lies to us because he doesn't want us to worry about him. He says he's fine when clearly he's not fine. If this girl meant something to him, then he's keeping that to himself so we don't go trying to fix things for him.
I wiped off the last part of my tattoo gun, setting the tools in the sterilizer and hitting the button. Neon blue lights lit up the mini-fridge-looking contraption. A low hum vibrated from the machine. Don't you think he deserves the benefit of the doubt, after all he's been through? I turned around and leaned against the arm of the couch, towering over my girl.
Yeah, I do, but...
What about after all we've been through? I don't know about you, but I don't want to go digging into shit that don't need digging into just because a part of his story seems off to you. It's all fucking off. Way fucking off. What matters is that he's home and he's got to deal with this shit when he's ready. Cut him some fucking slack, babe.
I know, but he won't talk about what happened to him,
she said, looking down at her hands. I tipped her chin up and I met her worried blue gaze. He needs time. You feel me, pup?
I feel you,
she breathed, giving me that look that made my balls tighten every fucking time. Good, I said, leaning in to press my lips to hers and pushing down on her shoulders so that her back was against the cushions. I pushed her legs apart and quickly settled myself between them. My favorite fucking place in the world. Now, let's quit all the serious talk while I seriously fuck you until you're the one begging me for another baby. I reached behind her and grabbed her ass, lifting her off the couch enough for my cock to press against her shorts-covered pussy.
I'll quit, I promise,
she assured me, breathing heavy.
No more digging.
Good girl, I said, palming her tits through her tank top. Feeling her nipples harden underneath my touch had me impossibly hard, and I was well on my way to fixing the situation she'd started the second she came into my shop wearing that little scrap of material she calls shorts, and that impossibly tight top that did all sorts of everything for her already amazing body.
I'll quit,
she said again, and I sensed we weren't done talking about it when she pushed against my chest until I had no choice but to set a knee on the floor so I could lift up off of her.
As soon as you take a look at this.
She pulled a folded piece of paper from between her tits, and I could give two shits if it was the Declaration of Independence or directions to the Holy Grail. All I could focus on was my need to tongue between her tits while I fingered her pussy from behind.
I dug this up a while ago, but I promise no more digging. Please.
She begged, snapping my focus back up to her eyes. It wasn't the kind of begging I was hoping for. I rubbed my hand over my face and snatched the paper from her hands. She sat up next to me and watched as I unfolded it. It was a copy of some sort of official document. What exactly the fuck is this? I asked, looking down at some sort of photocopy of an official document. I mentally braced myself at what was to come, because anything having to do with the law usually didn't end well. At least, not for me it didn't. Pup jabbed her finger at the paper.
Just keep going, please,
she insisted, her hands curled up between my bicep, her head against my shoulder as her lips silently moved as she read along with me. The smell of whatever girly shampoo she used wafted into my nostrils and did nothing to help reduce the massive hard-on still pressing painfully against my jeans. Focus? I sighed,
started at the beginning and then paused after reading the very first sentence. No fucking way. Not believing what I was reading, I glanced from Pup back to the page and started all over again. Pup was no longer looking at the document, but at me as I read it again, this time out loud. State of Florida, Division of Vital Statistics, Certificate of Marriage. Issued to Samuel Clearwater and Andrea Ann Capulet. Issued this day, June the... I paused and read the rest quickly, mumbling my way through the rest of the numerical facts with my hand over my mouth until I reached the bottom, where the both of official seal of Florida and the county stamp were right there on the bottom. What did that girl say her name was? I asked.
Dre, short for...
Andrea, I finished for her. Pup nodded.
I showed this to Dre. She was surprised as hell. She said she was trying to help Preppy get Max by forging some documents to make Preppy seem more like an upstanding citizen, but Preppy actually filed this with the clerk's office after she'd already left to go back home.
Holy fuck. He did lie to me, I said, hating the way the words sounded coming from my own mouth and feeling bitter and hurt that my best friend, a man I saw as my brother, could lie to me. For years he's been lying to me.
So you don't care that he's married?
No, I don't fucking care. I mean, I don't know why, but him getting married would never fucking bother me. What I fucking care about is that I was lied to by one of the only people on the planet I never thought I had to worry about lying to me, I said, my voice rising along with my temper.
You should talk to him. Ask him what it's all about. Maybe we can help him, Pup said.
That's what I'm gonna do, I said, stomping out the door with Pup close on my heels.
What are you doing?
She asked, struggling to keep pace beside me as I stormed over to the main house. Going to get some answers, I replied.
Wait!
Pup shouted, grabbing me by one of the belts on my arm. I stopped and turned around to face her.
We don't even know where he is.
Instantly, my temper cooled at the reminder that we'd gone without him for so long. We fucking buried him, for fuck's sake, and now we knew he was alive but didn't know where he was.
We will find him, and then you will talk to him. I promise, if that fucks things up more, then we can talk about speeding up you getting me pregnant again.
She pressed her soft lips to my neck, and smell and nearness combination sent a shot of sensation directly to my already hardening cock. But what about right now? I asked.
Now?
She asked, growing bolder, slipping her hand into the back waistband of my jeans and cupping my ass.
Now we practice.
A growl tore from my throat as I lifted her up into my arms, her legs instantly wrapping around my waist. I felt the heat of her pussy against my cock as I walked with her into the shadows under the house and pushed her up against a pillar.
I'm particularly fond of this particular pillar,
she cooed, tightening her legs around me. You make me fucking crazy, woman, I said, grabbing her face in my hands and kissing her furiously. You can bargain with me all you want, but you best remember who's in charge here. I squeezed her ass. Of this. She arched her back against the pillar. Of this, I said, pinching her nipple between my fingers. Of this, I growled, shoving my hand down the front of her shorts and cupping her pussy in my palm. Her head dropped back as she rotated her hips, her body begging for more.
More,
she said breathlessly. I claimed her lips again, rocking rhythmically against the opening of her pussy, kissing her deeply and furiously, my tongue intertwining with hers in a way that made me ache to be balls deep inside of her. It never mattered how many times I'd kissed Pup, or even how many times I'd fucked her since we'd first met. None of that even mattered, because it was as if time only made me want her more and more. I was sick with lust for her, a sickness I never wanted to be cured of. I pulled back for air and pushed a stray hair from her eyes, tucking it behind her ear. Her face flushed, her lips swollen and red. As soon as she spoke the last syllable of her question, I entered her pussy in one long hard thrust that had me seeing stars as she squeezed around me like a fucking vice. She cried out and dug her fingernails into my shoulders. Of course, my phone rang right when I was about to drive home into my girl. It stopped, but only to start back up again. Finally, Pup reached into my back pocket and handed it to me. I glared at it when I barked. What? We'll be right there, I said, clicking end on the phone and dialing Bear's number. I set Pup down on her feet and righted my jeans while waiting for him to answer.
Who was that?
Ray asked, jogging beside me to keep up as I made my way to the garage where Bear had been tinkering around earlier. I pounded on the door and it lifted seconds later. Bear stood there with a cigarette dangling from his mouth and a greasy wrench in his hand. I looked from Ray to Bear. Billy called. He said Preppy came in screaming and knocking shit over at his crab shack. When Billy tried to settle him down, he darted out the back. He can't find him anywhere, and he just hopes... I trailed off.
What? He hopes what?
Ray asked, pulling at my shirt. That he didn't jump off the seawall.
Chapter 15. Dre. When there was a knock at the front door, I assumed it was the realtor who was coming by to show a prospective buyer the house. But when I opened the door and saw Ray standing on my porch, I was pleasantly surprised. Well, I was pleasantly surprised until I realized what state she was in. Her eyes were red. She was twisting her hands together and bouncing nervously on the balls of her feet. King was standing outside of the truck in the driveway, an unreadable expression on his face. "Is he here?" Ray asked, glancing over my shoulder into the house. "Who?" I asked. "Preppy!" Ray shouted, pushing past me and ran through the empty house, darting from room to room. She ran out just as quick as she'd run in and shook her head at King, who clenched his fists and pounded them against the roof of his truck. His head dropped. Ray ran to the truck and King got in the driver's seat. "Wait, what's wrong?" I asked, running after them, feeling a sense of dread building inside me. They ignored me. King threw the truck in reverse. They'd gotten about 3 feet down the driveway when I jumped behind the truck and held up my hands. King slammed on the brakes to avoid hitting me.
"What the fuck? Get out of the fucking way,"
King said, sticking his head out the window. To say that King was frightening was the understatement of the century. The man was downright terrifying, but there was no way in hell I was letting them leave. "I'll move when you tell me what the fuck is going on, and why you're searching my house and asking me if he's here." King threw the truck in park and got out. He slammed the door and stormed up to me in a few long strides. He glared down at me and I could feel the anger in his gaze.
"You need to get out of the fucking way," he seethed.
I shook my head, and although my hands were shaking, there was no way I was moving. "No. You'll have to run me over first. Tell me what the fuck is going on," I said, standing my ground. King opened his mouth to speak, but Ray appeared next to him, took his hand in hers, and beat him to it. "Preppy freaked out and bolted. Can't find him anywhere. Thought he might have come here." Ray paused and looked to the floor. "He's not in a great place right now. And we're worried that he might have done something stupid." King let go of her hand and they both got back in the truck. I stepped out of the way with a sinking heart, watching them roll away, when suddenly it hit me. I bolted to the passenger side and threw open the door of the truck. Again, King was forced to slam on the brakes. "What in the hell are you doing?" Ray squealed as I jumped inside, forcing her to slide to the middle. I closed the door and turned to a very confused and worried-looking King and Ray. "I know where he is." King called Bear on the way and told him where to meet us. After only a few minutes, Bear appeared behind us on his bike, the roar of the engine rattling the rearview mirror as he followed us down the road. It wasn't until we'd cleared the fence and the tall pine trees that we realized the moon wasn't the only thing lighting up the water tower. Parked in the field below was an array of flashing red and blue from a fire truck, several police cars, and an ambulance. Chapter 16. Dre. The hospital was a damn madhouse, Doctors and nurses pushed by, flying down the hallway at inhuman speeds like white-coated superheroes, shouting out complicated series of orders to one another that sounded nothing like words I'd ever heard in the English language before. Everything in the place blinked and beeped, and when the occasional alarm would sound, more white coats would stampede toward the ER doors, their stethoscopes swinging from their necks like elephant trunks. The waiting room was jam-packed. Every seat was taken as the nurses at the desk called out numbers like the deli counter at the grocery store. The hallways were lined with people, all in varying states of worry, who all tried to become a part of the walls to make room for the medical teams when they rolled another patient through. The smell of the place was sickening, like open sores and antiseptic. My stomach rolled.
"We need to see Samuel Clearwater. He's back there. What room is he in? How is he doing?"
King demanded. The front desk nurse looked as if she was about to argue until she glanced up from her computer between King and Bear. She looked back down to the screen.
"He doesn't have a room yet. He's in an evaluation curtain."
"Where is the evaluation area?"
Bear asked. She shook her head.
"Nuh-uh, you can't go back there unless you're immediate family."
"We're the closest thing to family he's got," Ray argued.
"Unfortunately, in this hospital, that's not close enough. I'll send a doctor out with an update as soon as we have one. I suggest you take a seat until then. If and when he gets a room, you can go back one at a time. But for now, you have to wait like everyone else."
"Fuck this,"
King roared, heading toward the double doors marked "Do Not Enter" in large, determined strides.
"Sir,"
the nurse exclaimed, throwing her tiny body in front of King before he reached his destination. She flipped her braids over her shoulders again, and that's when I got a clear view of her name tag, Ivy. And Nurse Ivy apparently had a huge set of balls on her to stand up against the likes of King.
"Don't make me call security up in here and have you thrown out, because then you'll have to call for an update from your jail cell instead of sitting patiently in the waiting room like I so nicely asked you to do."
"Listen, darling,"
Bear said, smiling down at Ivy, who looked even less impressed at his attempt at a softer approach, although the lines in her forehead did decrease just a fraction. She was a female, after all, and Bear's slow southern drawl sounded like a deep purr, the kind that vibrated all the way through you to the ground.
"Our friend in there. He hates hospitals more than anything. All I'm asking you is that you let one of us go in there to check on him. Really quick. Just to make sure he's all right. And then we'll get out of your fucking hair."
Nurse Ivy folded her arms over her chest, her determination to keep them out unwavering. Two uniformed guards approached King and Bear.
"Ma'am, please,"
Bear pled, as the guard stepped between them and Ivy.
"He needs someone back there with him, and he doesn't have any immediate family here."
"Yes, he does," I shouted a bit too loudly. Not only did King, Bear, and Ray turn to face me, but so did the nurse, the guards, and most of the waiting room.
"I can go back there with him. I'm his immediate family."
"Sure you are, miss," the nurse said with a roll of her eyes. "And who exactly are you? His sister? No, wait, his mama?" I had about all I could take of the bitch. I stepped between King and Bear.
"No, I'm his wife," I growled. She looked up to King and Bear.
"No immediate family, huh?" she said with her lips pursed. "You unaware that your friend had a wife?" she said skeptically.
"It's complicated," Ray clarified. "Take me to my husband now," I said to the nurse, pushing past the guards who stepped aside. Reluctantly, and with a lot more attitude than was necessary, Ivy shoved the paper back into my hands and pressed a button, opening the double doors. The security guard stepped away. I turned back before the doors closed again.
"I'll come out and let you know what's going on as soon as I know something," I said to Preppy's friends.
King shot me an appreciative nod before I followed the nurse down the wide hall on the way to find Preppy, my husband. The nurse walked me through another set of doors and pointed me toward a curtain, before stalking back off toward the waiting area, grumbling to herself along the way. Cautiously, I pulled the curtain aside, and my breath caught in my throat when I saw Preppy lying there on the gurney with his head tilted back and his eyes closed. He was unconscious. A doctor wearing glasses and a long white lab coat was hovering over Preppy, a needle up to the IV in the back of Preppy's hand. When the doctor realized I was there, his eyes snapped up to mine and he pulled the needle from the IV and stood up straight, adjusting his coat. "I'm his wife," I said before he could protest my presence. "What's going on with him?" I asked, standing by the gurney and taking Preppy's hand in mine, in a very wifely move. I scanned him over, but there weren't any obvious signs of injury. No bleeding or bruises. "What happened to him?" The doctor tucked the full needle into the breast pocket of his shirt. "What is that?" I asked, pointing to where he'd just covered his pocket with his coat.
"Just a mild sedative," he replied, pushing his glasses back on his nose.
That's when I noticed the cheesy smiley face tattoo on the back of his hand. "He looks perfectly sedated to me," I said, looking at Preppy, whose mouth was open. A deep snore rumbled from his mouth.
"That's why I decided not to give it to him," the doctor replied, jotting something down on his clipboard.
"Why sedate him at all? What exactly is going on here? Why is he here at all?"
"Your husband was found on the water tower, about to commit suicide. It was called in by a concerned passerby, and the police called an ambulance, who brought him here. Standard protocol for these types of things."
"Suicide? The water tower? Who was the passerby?" I asked. "I'd like to check with them. Talk to them about what it is they saw."
"You can't. It was an anonymous call."
The doctor set the clipboard into a slot on the wall.
"If you'll excuse me, ma'am."
"No, I won't excuse you. There must be some mistake. The bystander is wrong. My husband wouldn't do that," I argued. I knew Preppy's take on suicide. I knew that even in the worst of times, he would never take his own life. I was sure of that, as I was about the earth being round and the sky being blue.
"I want to be an old man with old rabbit dick dangling between my legs." "Ma'am, it doesn't matter if you think he would or wouldn't try to kill himself. We are checking him into a psych ward for a full evaluation. We will know more in a few days. If everything checks out fine, then he can go home in 72 hours.
"A few days?" I asked, dropping Preppy's hand and taking a step forward toward the doctor. "That's not going to happen," I argued. "No, he's coming home with me."
"Ma'am," the doctor said, looking annoyed. "The law..."
"Sir," I interrupted him. "The law states that he can only be put on a psych hold for up to 72 hours if he is a threat to himself or others, or if he's been arrested and the judge requests a determination of his mental state prior to arraignment." I knew this because I looked it up once after my father threatened me with the very same thing, after heroin and I became fast friends. I just hoped the laws in Florida were similar to the ones in New York.
"Is he being charged with anything?"
The doctor rubbed his temple.
"Not to my knowledge."
"Okay, and I happen to know for a fact that my husband goes up to the water tower to relax from time to time and look down at the city he loves. If, in fact, someone called him in as a possible suicide attempt, then they were very mistaken."
"I'm sorry, ma'am. There isn't anything I can do. He has to stay for a whole..."
I stood my ground. "Without proof that he was trying to harm himself, which you don't have since your witness was anonymous, then you have no grounds to hold him."
"She's right,"
said a male police officer who just stepped inside the curtained area.
"It's the law. He's free to go." "Fine," the doctor huffed.
He pulled aside the curtain.
"But if he ends up dead because you didn't think he was capable of killing himself, then it's on you."
He pointed to the officer and shot him a disapproving sneer.
"I assume you can take care of his cuff."
The doctor then scribbled on a piece of paper and handed it to me.
"Discharge papers,"
he mumbled as he left. "Thank you," I said, turning to the officer when the doctor was out of earshot. I really appreciate...
You know that's not really the law, right?
The officer asked. He unsecured Preppy's wrist from the gurney. When he was done, he crossed his arms and took a wide stance. He was huge in both presence and stature. The name on his badge read Wiggum.
Close, though.
I wasn't 100% sure, but it was worth a try, I explained. Preppy hates hospitals, and I know for a fact he wouldn't do what they said he was trying to do. Suddenly, something strange hit me. I looked up to the officer, who didn't look like any of the cops I'd ever seen. Tattoos on his neck and hands. A chiseled jaw, a 5 o'clock shadow, and dark, shiny hair peeking out from under his police hat. But if it isn't the law, then why would you say it was? Why put your job at risk for someone you don't know?
Who said I didn't know him? Besides, I would be really fucking concerned about my job.
Officer Wiggum turned to me and whispered,
If I really were a cop.
If you're not a cop, then who are you? I asked as non-police officer Wiggum took a syringe out of a pencil case. Wait, what are you giving him? I placed my hand in front of the IV, and the needle pricked my skin as he was about to push on the plunger. He growled in annoyance.
I'm just someone who happened to be in the right place at the right time,
he said, grabbing my wrist. He tossed it out of his way. I licked the drop of blood from the back of my hand.
And calm your pretty face. I'm just giving him something that will wake him up a bit,
he said, pushing on the plunger.
Whatever fucking horse tranquilizer they gave him when they arrested him was meant to keep him comatose for a while.
Then how were they supposed to do an evaluation on him? That makes no sense.
Something tells me they never planned on any sort of evaluation. Keep your eyes out around here. Shit's gone a little sideways. Don't trust anyone. Especially not the cops or even the doctors.
He leaned over Preppy and gave each of his cheeks a couple of short slaps. Preppy's eyelids fluttered. He moaned softly and the sound shot straight to my heart. I was so focused on him waking up, I didn't realize that the man in the officer's uniform had been staring at me. What? I asked, feeling uncomfortable under his dark glare.
You must be Dre,
he said, with no sort of emotion attached to the words. How did you know who I am? Finally, he smiled, although it was a crooked smile.
I know everything,
he stated. He stood and tipped his hat to me on the way out. He glanced at Preppy one final time.
I'll tell King and Bear he's going home. Don't leave his side, and when he comes around, tell Prep he owes me one. Again.
I nodded. I will, thank you. Before he could step away, I realized something. Wait, who do I tell him he owes? Unless Wiggum is really your name? I asked, pointing to his badge. He shook his head and grinned.
Name's Smoke.
Chapter 17. Preppy. For a few moments before Dre realized I was awake, I watched her. It had been so long since I'd seen her, like really seen her in the light, yet nothing and everything had changed. Her skin was clear, and so were the whites of her eyes. She was a knockout as a strung-out junkie, but sober made me feel warm and tingly in every part of my body. Even the one that had refused to work for weeks. Even though she's wearing short sleeves, she makes the motion like she's pulling down on her sleeves to cover the scars on her arms, which are now barely noticeable. It turned from a habit into a nervous quirk, and it's fucking adorable. Dre was talking with someone, but I can't see who the fuck it was, and I didn't care. I was still checking out Dre and not believing she was really there. She still bites the side of her thumb, too, and if you looked at her from the wrong angle, it almost seems as if she's sucking on it, which makes my useless dick twitch for the first time in eons. Something about her having the same little quirks made me feel like I wasn't so out of the loop. Although I knew when my inspection of Dre landed on the sparkling diamond on her left hand that out of the loop is a fucking understatement. I suppress a laugh, still not wanting her to know I was conscious just yet, when I realized that she's talking to Smoke, and he's wearing a full police uniform. Fuck knows what that was about, But what tickled me as funny was that his name badge said Wiggum. I wait until he's gone before saying, Wiggum. Chief Wiggum is the police chief on The Simpsons.
Good, you're awake. What were you doing on the water tower?
She asked, smoothing my hair from my face. I want to lean into her touch, but instead I flinch. A little reflex I picked up, courtesy of Chop, and she withdrew her hand. I flashed her the biggest smile I could, forgetting about my missing tooth. I must have looked a mess. I started, not really remembering why I was there in the first place. But when the memory hits and I recall the party, the ring, the Backstreet Boy I knocked out, the kiss, I decide to go with the truth. Sort of. I was looking for you.
Were you trying to jump?
She asked, crossing her arms over her chest like she was both pissed and disappointed. But I couldn't linger on that because the motion pushed her tits up over the neckline of her shirt, and suddenly I hated the inch or so of cotton hiding what I knew to be perfect pink nipples from me. No, but I might have been screaming a little. Okay, a lot. Someone must have called the cops about the lunatic on the water tower, and they hauled me in thinking I was going to take the long leap to nowhere.
But you weren't?
She asked, like she was making sure. No, Doc, I reassured her. She nodded and breathed out slowly, like she'd been holding her breath. One of the officers must have gotten a little punchy, I said, feeling the knot on my forehead. Fucker.
King and Bear are in the waiting room. I'll go tell them you're ready to go home,
she said, standing up. I grabbed her wrist and she sat back down. No, Doc. I can't go back there. It's too... I stopped. It's just too... everything.
Where do you want to go?
With you, I said, pleading with my eyes. I want to go with you.
Preppy,
she started, looking down at her lap.
That's not a good idea.
Because you're engaged? I asked, sounding more bitter than I intended. 'Cause married people can't get engaged unless the rules have changed. Shit, everything else has changed. Wouldn't surprise me.
No, because I'm not even going to be here long. I'm going home to help my dad the second the house sells, and the realtor thinks that could be really soon. And I'm not...
Okay, so I'll only stay until it sells or until you go home. Basically, I'll just be there for as long as you're there.
Preppy,
Dre said, sounding unconvinced. I was going to have to bring out the big guns. As your husband on record, don't I have to sign off on the sale? I asked. Doc straightened her spine.
Wait, what?
Even if it's on a technicality, we're married, right? The house would be considered our marital property. Therefore, I'd have to sign off on the sale regardless of whose name the house was in.
Fuck,
Dre mouthed when she realized I was right. It was adorable when she swore. Sounds good. Maybe later. Right now, I'm just looking for you to say,
yes, Preppy, I'd love for you to come and stay with me for a while. So, you're blackmailing me?
Doc asked. I smiled. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Dre.
That the kid you're fucking?
Preppy asked, pointing to the screensaver on my phone. It was a picture of me and Brandon at my college graduation. I graduated in 3 years and had a big smile on my face. Brandon was holding up my diploma like it was a trophy. For me, it kind of was. Excuse me? I snatched my phone from his hand, pushing it into my back pocket. He's not a kid, I argued.
Oh yeah? Could have fooled me. He looks like Zac Efron or a Backstreet Boy circa 1997. I mean, come on, Doc. He doesn't even have any facial hair. I bet he hasn't sprouted any pubes yet either. Looks a little too young for that. What kind of man doesn't have any fucking facial hair?
I glared at the short beard on his face.
I mean, what kind of man normally doesn't have facial hair? My beardlessness was due to special circumstances.
Such as...
Such as shit I don't want to fucking talk about,
Preppy said. He then started to whistle as he opened the back slider and stepped out onto the deck. See, I told you this wasn't a good idea, Ray said, walking in the door and setting down a garbage bag of what I assumed was Preppy's stuff onto the floor. He won't talk to any of us.